Okay, we have here the first shmuz. I assume many people got it. I hope it's okay. I think it's a little obvious, but we'll see. Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro, ki ani echbad is libo. So apparently both the Or HaChaim and the Alshach are bothered. That's not a reason why you should go to Paro. If anything, that would be a reason not to go to Paro. It's Ikshus Libo. He's not going to listen to you anyway. So why is Hashem ki? Means go to Paro because I was Ikshus Libo. That's, well, how's that the reason to go? So the Or HaChaim says, ki ritzad shiro Moshe ha-maka g'dayda shobarit. Here Moshe saw this tremendous mako bart. V'rosh is adir abahosev lachto. And instead of Paro is doing even worse, because he even came to the realization, worse in the sense that because he came to the realization of Hashem HaTzadik v'ani v'ami HaRishon, and he's still keeping on doing the same, which Mimeda makes it worse. Yishlo atikva v'imenu. It makes you, takes away the hope from Moshe. That's going to work. This ames avava b'shichuso Paro. It also makes his heart give up on the shlichus of Paro. He dislikes his shlichus. But as the Omar, I'll talk to this. So Hashem's telling him, don't give up on the shlichus. It's not because Paro is intrinsically not listening to you. It's a special reason in Hashemayim, and there's a reason for it. Hashem wants it, and it's good. It's not like you're a failure. You know, you went and you told Paro and it didn't work and you're a failure. If I cared, you were a success, but Hashem didn't want Paro to listen. And it's better if Paro's not listening. Okay. The Alshach says almost the same thing. I made it short, make life easy. So it starts from the middle. And there's this inevitable that Moshe will say in his heart, lo yimona, it's impossible. Either it means that Paro is extremely strong-minded and he closed his own heart, or it's from Hashem. So if it's from himself, why should I go? And go back to, I think that means this cursed, stubborn person. The more I hit him, the worse he gets. You can't wake up a tree. You can't go to a tree and say, wake up. Uri to heaven domain, where tell a rock, wake up. In other words, Paro is a rock. He shows he has no feelings. Okay. Basically the same. Then the Alshach continues with the other side. Okay. But the basic that they're both saying the same thing, that there was Moshe would have had a hargasha, or apparently would have had or didn't have a hargasha, that it's hopeless. I see, I gave this a tremendous, so much hasra, so much, you know, I told Paro, put in so much energy, it didn't go anywhere. So why? There's no point to do more. Right? And he's going to feel that way, there's no point. Lama Elcha, why should I go? So it's a very, very obviously the chazal is very schwer because of just basically our koyach atzirus. We're talking here about Moshe Rabbeinu, the world's biggest tzaddik, and it's not he's going on his own. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo el Paro. There's an explicit sivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Baruch Hu tells Moshe, go to Paro. So Moshe's going to think to himself, there's no point. There's no point, so why is Hashem telling you to do it? Obviously, there is a point. So, or Hashem has some cheshbon, obviously. Now, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that Moshe, I don't think we're afraid that Moshe is not going to listen to Hashem. That, I think, would be even too radical. But he's going to go, and he won't have his heart in it. And he won't do it with his slavis because he feels like I'm just wasting my time and what's the point? But you're Moshe Rabbeinu. You're the biggest tzaddik in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to do it. Where's your emunah? Hashem tells you to do it. Hashem said this is the right thing to do. It's gonna, this is what you have to do. You're going to think, I don't really want to do this. What a waste of time. It just biddles me. Give me, my mother's giving me a job to rake up to sweep up the leaves. It's just going to, all the leaves will come back tomorrow. What a waste of time. Okay, I'll do a crummy job just to be yaitzi. Hashem tells you to do it. Obviously, there's a purpose. There's a mean that's going to succeed. But wow, the whole point that it didn't succeed doesn't mean, since it didn't succeed last time, it won't succeed again, doesn't seem to be so 100% guaranteed. Usually, and I think I know that Cheshbon Nefesh in the Sefer says that there's such a thing that, you always talk about that you're almost there. The mashal we give it, you take a battering ram and you smash into the wall to break down the wall of the city. And the first time nothing happens, you go ahead, you bang a second time, and you bang a third time. And eventually the wall cracks, because the first time you're making slight internal cracks. It's not noticeable on the outside, but you're getting there. That's what we always tell people, a pep talk, a guy, you're almost there, just try a little harder another time, you break through. So, I would say Moshe should give himself a little pep talk. I tried, so it wasn't a waste. I succeeded. I got 99%. One more little chance, and then I'm going to break through. I mean, it's possible. Straw that breaks the camel back. So why is Moshe getting so frustrated? Apparently, and even Akash Baruch Hu tells you to do it. Anyway, I don't know the answer. I'm not trying to give the answer. I'm just saying that the shmuz is just the zemen de fun. The zemen de fun is that people get frustrated. And when they try very, very hard to accomplish something, and they think they're going to succeed because they put in all their energy, and then for such reasons, sometimes outside their control, inside their control, whatever, they don't succeed, it's extremely, if not impossible, or difficult for a person just to get right up and try again. It's frustrating. I tried so hard, and I thought I was going to succeed, and I should have succeeded, and all my seichel told me I would have succeeded, and then it doesn't work, and do it again. Because even Moshe Rabbeinu, even with a tzivui from Hashem, on some level, it's hard for him to do it again. Sure, he would have done it, but he wouldn't do it with the same islavis, with the same excitement, with the same energy. It's possible we have our svar that maybe, who knows, it's a straw that breaks the camel's back, and maybe he'll succeed. Yeah, but at least emotionally, it's very, very, that might be intellectually true, I don't know, but it's emotionally, for a person to go ahead after failure, to do it again is very, very hard. I think that, the exact Hesber, why not, is a little bit schwer to understand. Hashem tells you to do it, the Moshe. And maybe Moshe will do it like a Xeris HaKosev, but he can't do it with a lathe. You have to do it, in order to be Yaitzin a Mitzvah, you can't just go ahead and like say it's Xeris HaKosev, I have to come to Paro and tell you, Shalach Hazami. I have to feel it in my heart. And to feel it in my heart, I can't, because I'm yish. I'm giving up. So assuming this is pshat, I think that's relatively mukhlo from the Chazal, that there's a tremendous kasha here, is that l'chayra, it does happen sometimes by us, a similar situation where we work very, very hard on a problem. We take a project and we work very, very hard and we make a really, really, comes out during Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we get really, really committed to work on it. And then as the year goes on, right around now, we start slipping up. Well, work on it again. If Madach Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tried, maybe you can start making the chalukim, Moshe worked harder, but structurally, if Moshe Rabbeinu felt demoralized, I worked so hard, I tried so hard, I thought I was going to succeed. It was, the Orach Chaim says it was such a maka gedayda. I put it such a powerful maka, and it didn't go. So I'm going to try again. You say, well, you never know. The straw that broke the camel's back. I know. Apparently, it doesn't do it to a person. So this is a tremendous kasha. It creates a tremendous problem, and it highlights a tremendous problem. How can a person motivate himself to go ahead and to push on something that he already tried once pushing and he didn't succeed? If you see that human nature, that even Moshe Rabbeinu gets a little bit demoralized, whatever that means, so then surely by us. So, okay. So there were two shmooze I want to say to answer the two points to answer the question. The first one was Rav Shiva shmooze on this week's parsha, which is a very, very yisaitistic shmooze. So it's Rav Shiva shmooze, but it's extremely yisaitistic, so I think I wanted to say it. The Mechilta says, I just did it here very bekitzer. The Mechilta says, that they had, by the Pesach Mitzrayim, they had a halacha, they did not have by any other Korban Pesach, that they had to take the Korban Pesach 4 days earlier. So the Medrash says, this is a Mechilta, it's from the Chazal, it's not a Medrash, it's the Brises of Chazal. If you show you, it's from the Tanoim, really, show you Yisrael Shtuvim by Avodah Zarah by Mitzrayim. They were steeped in Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, Shkuda, can I go on mitzvahs? Now, Avodah Zarah is such a chomer de gaver. Now, the Medrash goes on for around five lines why Avodah Zarah is so chomer. So I didn't think it was so relevant to our shmooze, so I skipped it. Omer Nehem, so Moshe told them, Hashem tells them, Mishku Yidechem Avodah Zarah v'idabku b'mitzvahs. And to leave Avodah Zarah and do the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach. So Shiva had here two chidushim. The first chiddush was the first half of the Mechilta. The Mechilta says that Bnei Yisrael were yishtufim b'avodah zarah. He says, what are we talking about? We're talking about, this is at the end, after nine makas. Right? This is the beginning, before the beginning of the 10th makkah. The taking the Korban Pesach. So Klai Yisrael just saw a whole year of Nisim Gluyim. Mamish Nisim Gluyim. The Sarah Makas, when the Nes Goli, one after the other, and they're shtuvim b'avodah zarah. Like, it doesn't make sense. Why are they shtuvim b'avodah zarah? You see so many miracles. So apparently, Shiva said that even just seeing miracles, sometimes it's not enough. Avodah zarah in the time of the Torah was a tremendous taiva. We do not understand avodah zarah anymore. The Gemara says that Chazar or Mevatel, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. But Avodah Zarah was a taiva, was a, so to speak, a physical pleasure, like being Mizana, there's some kind of pleasure, taiva, whatever for it. There was also, obviously, the power of habit. It was perhaps many years, I don't know how many years, 100 years, 200 years, whenever they were doing this Avodah Zarah, got into it. They were in Mitzrayim for so long. So when you couple habit with taiva, it shayeth such a thing that you can have miracles. Even though logically, I'll be seicho, a miracle in Avodah Zarah is a complete stira. Obviously, you can't believe in Avodah Zarah intellectually if you see a nesman HaShemayim. But emotions don't always respond to intellect. And the emotional taiva together with habit somehow Bnei Yisrael, with all the miracles, could not give up their Avodah Zarah. And they were still not on a dakus level. Shtufim means they were mamish seeped in Avodah Zarah. So that was Rashiva's first chiddush, that you can have such a thing, that a taiva that can be so strong that even miracles can't knock it out. So then, if it comes along, it says, Mishko Yidechem Avodah Zarah Yidabko B'mitzvahs. Which means that always, and now we're telling you, Mishka Yedechem Avodah Zarah. So Rashiva's kasha was, if the Asaras Makas couldn't go ahead, they were after the Asaras Makas, they're stupid about Zarah Zarah, so what's Moshe telling you? Okay, Mishka Yedechem Avodah Zarah. You know, Yeshikayach Moshe. Like, how? This is, it's a habit. We're addicted. It's an addiction. Whatever it is, it was such a strong power. We couldn't give it up with all the proofs and all the intellectual proofs and the nisim gluyim. Okay, all of a sudden, mishku yedechem yavodah zara. Like, how am I supposed to be mishku yedechem yavodah zara? So the Rashiva learned the word is on the dovko b'mitzvahs, which means that there's a person who gets involved. There's a two ways of attacking the Yetzer Hara. There's intellectually that the Yetzer Hara is wrong, it's usher, it's terrible, I shouldn't be doing this, it doesn't make sense, it's wrong. But there's another way, which is like going through the back door. Sometimes the person, you know, you bang on the front door and the front door is locked, you can't break in. The solution is just go around the back door and the back door might be open. There's a different solution. The solution is hidabku b'mitzvahs. A person gets involved in mitzvahs. It's indirectly. It's not direct saying avodah zarah is sheker. It's memele. You're involved in something else. You get in a sense, it's a distraction. It's a satisfaction of your tivus by getting, when you're involved in something else, you don't have the need. Your tivus are satisfied. You're busy. Your brain is busy. Your mind is busy. Especially you're involved in kedusha, which is a stirat avodah zarah. So that doesn't coexist. It's not the direct attack against avodah zarah. Right? A nais is a direct attack. Avodah zarah is ridiculous. It's wrong. Shira yad Hashem. This is much more. This is indirect. The person. You tell the guy, you want to give up smoking, so go ahead and get yourself a hobby. Go ahead and, I don't say start drinking. Eating, right? Whatever it is. You give the guy a substitution, something else. So you give the guy something else to supplement. It's a substitution. You create a substitute. You figure out you have a need. The avodah zarah is supplying some need for your being. Well, hidabku b'mitzvahs. That memeda, it's automatic. You don't have to fight the Yetzer Hara. The taiva for Yetzer Hara is too strong. You can't fight it directly. You've been fighting it directly a whole year. It's not going. But it's memeda. If you're hidabku b'mitzvahs, it just by itself it goes away. The very powerful yisoid. That sometimes the more you get involved in ruchnias, in mitzvahs, and learning Torah, obviously, it's just memeda. I'm a different person. I'm busy. My mind is preoccupied. I feel successful. I feel accomplished. Then memeda, somehow or another, those taivas, even though avodah zarah is a taiva and it's a pleasure, I just don't need it. I don't need that taiva anymore. I'm busy with other things. I forget about those taivas. I'm not fighting it. I'm distracting it by getting involved in other things. So what the Rishis said are a very big insight is that sometimes the best way to fight a very, very strong taiva is to go through the back door by getting more involved, not so much this is usher, this is terrible, this is wrong. It's getting, the more you get involved in Torah and mitzvahs, the more you sort of feel good about yourself spiritually, the more you get you're just involved all day in the positive, it memeda pushes out everything else. And sometimes that is even stronger. Well, the application with what we were saying is, we said there's a tremendous problem. A person can get frustrated. So the realization, as a person stays more in yeshiva, more in learning, obviously, you're getting more involved. Right? The more years a person is, it stays in yeshiva, the more is he dubko b'mitzvahs. So it's not necessarily I have to fight harder. It's not that I fought last Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur so hard and I didn't succeed, so I should have to do this again. If it didn't go last year, why should it go this year? The answer is that the way you're fighting it, one of the main ways is hidabku b'mitzvahs. I am more hidabku b'mitzvahs. I'm another year in ruchnias, another year in learning full time. The more the Meira, the Dabka B'mitzvah, the Meira goes ahead and removes the Yetzirah. The second thing, which is not a shmooze, but it's sort of obvious, but it's the Stipler writes the famous piece, which is Kedai to read, that the Stipler writes about this thing about people are nichshol many times in whatever Aveira is talking about. He's talking about Aveiras of Taivas Noshim, I assume, Hirurim, etc. So he says, Abi Shekama Pamim nichshol Rachman and Atzon, Mikoma Gomim Neumese, Harbe Pamim in Atzeach. If sometimes you succeed, when you do succeed, you're in tremendous kedusha. Okay. Just skipping here. The aim is shyer. You can't imagine. I skipped a line because it was about Kabbalah stuff. Skipping a little Kabbalah. Bein Ishaya Gedu Roimis HaKedusha Zahadam. You can't imagine the Kedusha of this person. HaKovesh Taivoso Bizman Toifo. He succeeds in conquering his Taiva. For who Oz Bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik? You're on the level of Yosef HaTzadik. HaKlau Odom Sheshbo Mechomes HaYetzer Mepomim Menasek. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. So then you have both. You have loss, but you have tremendous chusim. In other words, what he's basically saying is, he said this in other places too, maybe a little stronger, but the basic idea, he says this a few times, that granted, a person has to be careful not just to focus on his failures, but also to focus on his success. Because if you just focus on your failures, then you're going to get, you'll be like, I failed, so I'm going to try again. What's the point? But you have to focus on the success. Even if we fail, we also sometimes succeed. Now, the person has a taiva, so we don't always give in to every taiva. 50% of the time we don't give in, 50% of the time we do give in. So there's 50% success. So if you're looking at your failures, so then we have the problem of the orachayim, the alshach. You walk around, hey, I tried so hard and I failed, so why try again? I'm not going to go. I'm a failure. I can't do it. But if you say, what do you mean? I tried hard and I succeeded. I didn't get 100, but I succeeded 50%. And he says that those 50% is not a little thing. Those 50% that you succeeded is bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik, right? Which is a tremendous to hear that the Averis don't knock out the mitzvahs. The fact that a person is nichshol 50% does not mean that the 50% that he succeeds, he's not a tremendous tzidkus. So in the focusing, so you don't get down, I worked hard, I didn't succeed. I made a kabbalah on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and I didn't succeed. No, I made a kabbalah, and I did succeed. Okay, I didn't succeed as much as I would have liked to. I was bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik sometimes. That's pretty amazing. To do a mitzvah sometimes bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik is amazing. I would have loved to be all the time bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik. But sometimes bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik is pretty good. Rabbi Trapper used to say the same thing, but Rabbi Trapper used to add, which I don't think the Stipler said, and I didn't look through all his letters, that even when the person feels he's bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik, because even when you feel, very often you don't feel right away. It takes 5 minutes. You put up a little fight, and then you lose the battle. So even if you fought for 5 minutes, so for 5 minutes you were bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik. Person, the Chazal say, Yoshev lo over Aveira, so every minute is considered as a din of Yoshev lo over Aveira. That's what they say. They say that a person's yashad over aveira, like we mentioned that in Yom Kippur, a person doesn't fast on Yom Kippur, he doesn't eat. He doesn't get one mitzvah. He gets a mitzvah for every second that he's not eating. So if a person has a taiva, and he puts up a fight, and after 5 minutes he loses the fight. So for 5 minutes he was mekayim yashad over aveira. So according using the language of the Stipler, so he's, for 5 minutes, he did a mitzvah, bebechinas Yosef HaTzadik. So you did a tremendous mitzvah. So Rabbi Trapper used to say, even if a guy mamish feels all the time, But if he succeeded in delaying to some extent, he also got tremendous mitzvah. So you succeeded. You didn't succeed as much as you wanted to, but you succeeded. So it comes out as follows. There's a number of, I think, important chedushim. The first realization is that if a person gets, you have to be careful not to get down. If a person gets down and so a person focuses too much on, I'm not succeeding, I'm not getting out, then you're just liable to quit. Madach Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a problem. Hashem thought there's a problem that he's, I don't want to say he's going to quit completely, but he's going to, something, he's going to affect, he's not going to do it mitzvahs properly. So obviously by us, it will be this 100,000 times greater. So a person needs to have avenues of telling himself that I can succeed. So apparently the svara that we use, that, well, it's just, maybe it's a straw that broke the camel's back. That doesn't work so well. Otherwise, it would have worked by Moshe Rabbeinu. But you have to, so we have two approaches. And the second shmuz you see from the Mechilta that there are, it's another chiddush too. So that's one chiddush. Second chiddush, Rashiva's first chiddush, that there are certain yetzaharas that are extremely, extremely difficult to break. And therefore, again, if a person doesn't break them, it doesn't mean it's a Rasha Marusha Yisoid item, because that's the nature of the world. There are certain taivas that are very, very hard. But there are, even there, there are solutions. One solution is sometimes without even realizing it, it's almost without even trying. It just, the more you get involved in Ruchnius, in Kedusha, it just memeda decreases. It's not like, if I didn't succeed yesterday, how can I succeed again today? It's because it's a different battle. Because the more you get involved in Kedusha, in mitzvahs, memeda, the power of the Yetzirah goes down. And memeda, it's not the same battle as yesterday. Yesterday was a different battle, was a different Yetzirah. Today, if you're more hidabku b'mitzvahs, so the Yetzirah is less. So that is one answer, is a realization that when you become more hidabku b'mitzvahs, that is very often the most potent way of weakening the Yetzirah. And then you have the Stiper's point that even if a person doesn't succeed, but if a person, whenever you do succeed, is a tremendous accomplishment. We have to be able to focus on our success, just like on our failures, and to realize that success and failures don't cancel out. And even if we failed, but as long as we succeeded some of the time, it's a tremendous success. There's no reason to get down.